Thank you for the invitation to be here. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for all the work, the effort, the labor and toil you put into the family camp. It went so fast. It was here and gone before you could blink an eye. And maybe you didn't feel that way if you were working through it. But for us who came, it's just been a blessing. Please do us a favor for family camp in the future and make sure the weather is identical to what it has been these last 3 days. Okay. That was really a blessing from God. And thank you for the food. We are going home fed up. And so I appreciate that. And it was well done. Thank you so much for all the hospitality, for the nice place to stay in the missions department, for the fruit basket and goodie basket that was there, for all the things that were in the cupboards, especially the coffee. I made good use of that. And thank you. I mean that for your hospitality. And I want to thank you, Heritage Baptist Church, for not changing through the years. I don't remember the first year I came to the church, but you were in the old facility, in the old property, in the old building. And you've changed locations, and you know, we've changed physically through the years. Hair has gotten, has either turned gray or turned loose in some cases. But you as a church family, as far as your position, your stand, and your practice of God's Word has remained steady. And I say amen and God bless you. Because unbelievably, friend, that can't be said about every place. That type of thing is few and far between today. And I appreciate that so very, very much that, you know, when I am invited to come here, I know that I'm coming to a church that's within my comfort zone as far as your belief and practice and what you've stood for all these years. So stay the course. Just stay the course, okay? I don't want to be pessimistic, but it's not going to get easier. It's going to get more difficult. But you stay the course, you'll be glad you did. And that's what the Lord wants. Let me ask you to open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6 this evening. Ephesians chapter 6. And I know from special events and activities at our church that when you've had something like a family camp, like you folks have hosted for the last 3 days, you are a little bit more weary on Wednesday night. And this message, I want to be a help and a blessing to you. It was a help and a blessing to our church. I will have to ask you to give me your mind tonight to think with me through this. And we'll ask the Lord, of course, to take the Word and do His work with it in the hearts of people. Let's look with together at verse number 10 in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul writing says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Drop down to verse 17, please, where Paul wrote, "And take the helmet of salvation." I want to speak tonight on this subject, wear your helmet. Wear your helmet. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for our Bible. Thank you for the book that you have given to us. Thank you for its power. Thank you for its life, its liveliness. And I pray, Lord, that it will have a great effect on our hearts tonight. We ask your Spirit, please, to control both speaker and listener. You have our minds, our hearts, our wills, our thoughts, and that, Lord, you will please take the good word, the good seed of your word, and plant it in good ground tonight, and may it bring forth fruit in our hearts. I pray, God, you'd use the message as you choose, and I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name, and amen. It's amazing to see a U.S. Armed Forces soldier dressed in full combat gear. They really look like the drawings you would see of ninja warriors. The pieces of equipment that are available to modern day soldiers to help them in combat, those pieces are amazing in function and they are many in number. Today's soldier is decked out from head to foot in specifically and specially designed gear to help protect him in the battle, to help aid him both defensively and offensively. I never served in the military. But if I was going to combat and my commanding officer told me to go to the equipment room and get what I needed for the battle, I believe, friend, that I would go and get every piece of equipment that was available. I would take everything I could because I would want to go into battle fully prepared. That's what Paul encouraged the Ephesian Christians to do in our text tonight. He says in verse number 10, finally. So he's coming down to the end of his letter. He's coming down to the end of his epistle. And as he comes down to the end of it, he's giving one last exhortation. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And he goes on to say, if you're going to be strong in the Lord, verse 11, you're going to have to put on the whole armor of God. Christian soldier, he says, go to the equipment room and pick out the equipment that's available. You're going to need it. And here's why you're going to need it. Because you're going into war. You're going into war. Sometimes I think as Christians we lose sight of the fact that we are engaged in warfare. People, the Christian life is warfare. And Paul told the Christians here at Ephesus, he said, you need to put on the whole armor of God because you're going into warfare. And he says in verse number 11 that your enemy is the devil. And then he elaborates on that in verse number 12. Look at it with me. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our warfare is not against human beings. It's against principalities. It's against powers. It's against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's against spiritual wickedness in high places. People, the kingdom of evil. I hope you get that tonight. The kingdom of evil is aligned against you as a child of God. Now, I don't think that needs to scare us, but it should cause us to respect the ability of the enemy to wage war against us. Folks, we're not fighting against an ignorant foe. We're not fighting against a weak foe. We are fighting against a very wise and knowledgeable, and if I can say this, experienced foe in this warfare of the Christian life. And Paul says in verse number 13, this is why there is an equipment room. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. This is why there is an armor of God. Look, we know that the world is our enemy. We know that the flesh is our enemy. But people, the armor of God is designed specifically to help us in the war against the kingdom of evil that's led by the enemy of God, Satan himself. And these pieces of equipment are designed for defense and protection. They're designed for offense. All of them are designed to help us to stand true as soldiers in the Lord's army. There are Christians in our day who live in defeat because they are worldly. There are Christians in our world today who live in defeat because they are carnal or fleshly. They are in subjection to the old Adamic sin nature. And that's sad. Other Christians are defeated by the onslaught of the kingdom of darkness. I believe that with all of my heart. After pastoring now people for 27 years, I see it with the membership of our church. There are Christians who live in defeat because they are defeated by the onslaught of the kingdom of darkness. And when it comes to the fight against the kingdom of darkness, one of the reasons that some people fail is they don't take advantage of the equipment that God has provided. God has provided this very workable, usable equipment to help us in our warfare against the kingdom of evil. Now, I'm not going to preach on all the armor tonight. I want to take one very important piece of the armor that's found in verse number 17. We read it in the text just a minute ago, where Paul said, and take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Put your helmet on. Wear your helmet. Now people, this does not mean that putting on the helmet of salvation makes you saved. Paul is talking to saved people. He uses the terminology in verse number 10, finally, my brethren. He's talking to saved people. No, because you are saved, there is a helmet that you can wear. A helmet to help protect a very important part of your body. That's your head. The head, the mind, the brain. It is the seat of your thoughts. It's important because ultimately our thoughts affect our feelings and our choices. So he says, put on the helmet. Wear your helmet into battle. Soldiers wore helmets. They wore helmets in this day. When Paul wrote these words, oftentimes the helmets were made out of leather. Sometimes they were made out of molded or pounded metal. And they understood that a blow to the chest could be fatal to somebody's life. So they wore breastplates. But they also understood that a blow to the head could be fatal. The enemy would use swords or daggers. Some were short, some were long. They would use those swords and daggers not only to stab and to thrust, but they would use those swords to swing down, pow, on the head of the enemy. And they would wield those swords that way to pound the head of the enemy. That's why they would wear the helmets, to protect their heads from getting smashed. So Paul is not saying in this text, hey, you need to be a Christian, so in order to be a Christian, you need to put on the helmet of salvation. No. He's saying because you're saved, because you're a Christian, you make sure that you wear the helmet of salvation into battle. You make sure that you wear that helmet that's for your protection. And Paul called it the helmet of salvation. Now, let's look a little bit further about the helmet of salvation. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 8 with me tonight. This is kind of the introduction part of the message, and the body of it won't be long at all. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 8. How does this helmet of salvation help protect us? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 8. Look with me there. Paul wrote these words, but let us who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. So Paul says, for a helmet put on, the hope of salvation. The helmet we wear into battle as a child of God is not a literal metal or leather helmet. The helmet we wear into battle as a child of God is the hope of our salvation. You say, Brother Terry, that doesn't sound too encouraging. We wear the hope of salvation into warfare against the devil and the kingdom of darkness. Like we hope we're going to be saved, or we hope we're going to be protected. No, folks, and I know you know this. I'm not preaching to novices tonight. I understand that. The word hope, the way we use the word hope today, is not the same way that they use the word hope in the Bible. We use the word hope as a desire or a wish. We hope it's not going to rain. We don't have any control over that. If it doesn't rain, we're happy. If it does rain, we're not as happy. We hope that the Kansas City Royals win the World Series. But we have no control over that. Maybe we'll suffer victory. Maybe we'll suffer defeat. But we sure hope the Kansas City Royals win the World Series. It's a wish. It's a desire. The Bible word hope is different than the way we use the word hope today. The coming of Jesus Christ is called the blessed hope. Do you think that means that it's only a wish or desire? We hope that Jesus will come again someday. Maybe He will. Maybe He won't. That's not the way the word hope is used in the Bible. When the Bible calls the coming of Christ the blessed hope, that is complete and full assurance and expectation. We know that Jesus is coming again. We know He's coming. We don't know when. It may be, like the song says, it may be at morn when the day is awaking and sunlight and darkness and shadow is breaking. And it goes on to say maybe noon, maybe evening. We don't know when Jesus is coming, but one thing we know for sure, Jesus Christ is coming. That's the way the word hope is used in the Bible. It means favorable and confident expectation. Favorable and confident expectation. So Pastor Age, Brother Terry, how does the hope of the helmet of salvation, the hope here in verse number 8, the helmet which is the hope of salvation, how does that apply to our warfare? What it's talking about, friend, is we put on, as we go into battle, we put on the confident and full expectation as to the completeness of our salvation. When we go into battle, we don't go into battle with a maybe-so salvation. We go into battle fully confident, favorable expectation that our salvation is complete. It is full in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is full, it is complete, and we go into battle with that favorable and confident assurance. Let me talk through this just a little bit tonight. And by the way, look at what he says in verse number 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, wait, Brother Angel, how does that all that fit together? Let me go through it quickly tonight. Number one, we got saved. All right? We got saved. There was a day, there was a time, there was a moment when we got saved. Folks, you don't grow into salvation. You don't inherit salvation. You don't earn salvation. You receive salvation when you trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. Listen, everybody in this room tonight has a moment of time that is the time of your physical birth. You got a birthday, but more important than that, you've got a birth time. For me, my mother tells me it was about 8:30 something in the morning of January 27th, 1957. I was physically born into this world. If you are saved, you have a moment in time that is the time of your spiritual birth. You didn't grow into it. You didn't inherit it. You didn't gain it by osmosis. There was a moment in time when you were born again spiritually into the family of God. Now, I will tell you this. As a pastor, I've been troubled at times by some people's testimony of salvation. I've been troubled by it. There's a lady visiting our services right now. I won't call her name in case this guy goes out on the internet somewhere and she just happens to listen to it. She's been in our services for weeks. I sat in the living room, her living room at her house, and following up on a visit and talking to her about salvation, I called her name and I said, tell me about, are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. Tell me about your salvation. Well, Pastor, I was raised a Catholic, and in the Catholic Church we were taught about the love of God, and I've just always known about the love of God, and I just always have known that God loves me, and if God loves me, He's saved me. And I tried to carefully but truthfully show her from the Word of God that that is not a good salvation testimony. And it hasn't come, it just hasn't dawned on her yet. I'm concerned about, we're praying for her as a church family, that she will come to that moment in time when she puts her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember talking to a teenage young man in our church, a young boy, probably ninth grade, and he had some problems and some ongoing problems in his life, and I was in the office with him in the conference room after a service. And I called his name and I said, are you saved? And he said, yes. I said, tell me about when you got saved. He said, well, my mom said that when I was... I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, tell me about when you got saved. He said, well, my mother said that... I said, son, Are you telling me that your testimony of salvation is based upon what your mother told you? When I said that, Brother Hanks, his eyes filled up with tears. And they began to trickle down his face. And I said, son, you've never been saved, have you? He said, no, sir. He was going on what his mother told him. Now listen, folks, I'm not trying to make anybody. In fact, this message is designed to do just the opposite tonight. You'll see that in just a moment. I'm not trying to make anybody in here doubt their salvation. But I'm going to tell you something. If you think you're going to heaven based on the fact that your mother told you you got saved, or your dad told you you got saved, you better listen to the Spirit of God. Now, you may not know the exact moment and time of the day that you got saved. Maybe you were 5 years old. Maybe you were 6 years old. But friend, you have to know that there was a time that you, in your heart, maybe on your knees, maybe walking, I don't know. You don't always have to have your head bowed and your eyes closed to talk to God. In fact, you find that very little in the Bible. But you do have to know that there was a time when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And it wasn't that your dad told you or your mom told you or Brother Hanks or your Sunday school teacher said, remember that? If you don't have that recollection, if you're not sure that you're saved, if you're going on the testimony of what somebody else told you, or if you just think, you know, well, man, I've always known about God. And the Bible tells us in James chapter 2 that the devils believe in God and tremble. It's far more than believing in the existence of God. Are you saved? That's, I'm just asking that. So when you come to Christ in repentance and faith and receive Him as your personal Savior, there is a moment in time when you are born into the family of God. Number two. We got saved. Now don't miss this. Past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. You say, Brother Terry, what do you mean? Salvation past. Salvation past is the great Bible doctrine known as justification. What does justification mean? Justification means that the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were justified in the eyes of God. Just as if you had never sinned. You were forgiven and given victory over sin's penalty when you got saved. Because when you got saved, you were justified by faith. When God looks at you, when God looks at me, He looks at us just as if we'd never sinned. It's not just, folks, that we have been forgiven. We are not guilty in Jesus Christ. There is a big difference in being guilty and finding forgiveness and being not guilty in the eyes of God. And the reason God looks at us tonight just as if we'd never sinned is because we are enrobed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, His Son. And when He sees us, thank God He doesn't see me. He sees the righteousness of the robe of righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's salvation past. That hope, that happened the moment you got saved. You were justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about salvation present? What does salvation present mean? Well, salvation present is sanctification. And sanctification is what is going on in our lives right now. We are delivered by sanctification from sin's power. Before salvation, sin's power has a death grip on us. But praise God, at the moment of salvation, sin's death grip on us is broken. That's the result of being saved. And as we get saved, we become sanctified. We're saved presently from sin's power. I don't have to drink alcohol. I have been delivered or saved from the power of that sin. I don't have to gossip. I have been saved or delivered from the power of that sin. I don't have to be lazy. I have been saved or delivered from the power of that sin. I don't have to do drugs. I have been saved or delivered from the power of that sin. Sin no longer reigns in our mortal bodies. Sin no longer sits on the throne of our lives. When we get saved, salvation present, sanctification is the day-by-day breaking of sin's power in our lives. We are presently being saved from sin's power, little by little, day after day, being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's going on right now in my life. That's going on right now in your life. So when we got saved past. Salvation past is justification. When we got saved salvation present. That's sanctification. When we got saved, we also got saved salvation future. That's glorification. Glorification is when we see Jesus. And when we see Jesus, we receive our glorified or saved bodies. Hey, the body you're sitting in out there tonight's not saved. Yet. This is the old Adamic physical sin-natured body. The same body I had before October 15th, 1975. It's just, the sin is still in my members. The nature of sin is still in my members. It's in my flesh. But glory to God, one of these days, when I see Jesus, my body is going to be saved. That's settled. We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, whether we go from this world by way of death or by way of the rapture. When we see Jesus, we will be saved. Now people, here's what I want to get to tonight. Listen carefully. Because here is the scriptural truth about salvation. From the moment that we receive Christ, to the moment we enter heaven, our salvation is secure. It's sealed up, lock, stock, and barrel. No holes, no loopholes, no cracks in the armor. We are His. We belong to Christ. Salvation has happened to us. Salvation is happening to us. And praise God, salvation will happen to us. It's full. It's complete. There is no chance of us ever losing it. And you know what Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 19 says about this? Hebrews 6, 19 calls this hope an anchor of the soul. An anchor. An anchor settled. An anchor secure. An anchor stable. That's what God calls this hope of salvation. This confident and full assurance that my salvation is complete in Jesus Christ. When I trusted Him, it was settled, lock, stock, and barrel. It's full. We got saved. We got saved past, present, and future. Number three, wear the helmet of the hope of salvation into battle. Wear the helmet of the hope of salvation into battle. People, Satan will try over and over again to rattle us, to cause us to doubt, to make us, to nag us about our salvation. I repeat, this is warfare. This is warfare. This is battle. And Satan comes and he pounds us. And he pounds us. And he pounds us. And he pounds us. And he pounds us with the sword of his evil kingdom. Boom! 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 On our heads. Trying to get us to think that we're not saved. That we're not secure. That we're not stable and rested in Jesus Christ. He pounds us over and over again. So in order to prevent being rattled or being doubtful or being shaken, we put on the confident assurance that we belong to Christ, and in Jesus, our salvation, thank God, is complete, past, present, and future. And we know when we wear that helmet into battle, it will help us defeat the blows that are going to come. The blows are coming. It's not if, it's when. People, I have had folks, adults, tell me, Brother Angel, every night I pray, dear God, if I'm not saved, please save me. Every night. I'm talking about people who exhibit the graces of God in their lives. People who have the fruit of the Spirit on display in their life. People who live what seems to be a holy life, but there's an emotional instability. There's an emotional insecurity. And brother, I just honestly believe some people are more given to that than others. They're just more given to instability. They're more given to emotional insecurity. And I may be preaching to somebody like that tonight. Now I'm here to tell you, brother and sister in Christ, that when you got saved past, present, and future. Your salvation is full. Your salvation is complete. There's no loopholes in it. There's no cracks. There's no maybes. It's settled lock, stock, and barrel. And what happens, Satan comes against you, and boom! And if you don't have the full and confident assurance of the fullness and completeness of your salvation, you're going to have trouble in this warfare. Satan and the kingdom of darkness will try to pound us with doubt, try to pound us with uncertainty. But the hope of our salvation is the anchor of the soul. People, look, if you believe that you can lose your salvation, then you're going to be ill-equipped to engage in battle. Here's what I think. For some people, every little problem in life is a setback. Every little problem is a setback, and it becomes a horrendous pit of despair. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I lost? Have I lost my salvation? Folks, every reversal, every time some people get sick, every setback, they run to thinking, is God mad at me? Have I lost my salvation? This is war. In war, there are setbacks. In war, there are wounds. In war, there are defeats. In war, there are losses. I challenge any Christian in this room to stand up and tell me that you lived your Christian life in complete victory every day. You can't do it, I can't do it. Because this is warfare. And in warfare, there are setbacks. And in warfare, there are defeats. And in warfare, there are losses. And brother, if you're not careful, you go into warfare and the kingdom of darkness and Satan himself and the evil ones come against you and pound you and pound you and pound you. And if you're not wearing the hope of the helmet of the hope of salvation, you're going to end up, you know, wondering and thinking and in despair. And am I really saved? And am I on my way to heaven? Did I lose my salvation? Brother, listen, Satan comes at me sometimes and he pounds and he pounds. And he pounds. But I have learned that I must wear the helmet of the hope of my salvation. I am saved. I may not live like it every moment of every day. I may have a reversal. I may have a defeat. I may suffer a loss. I may go through a setback. But I am saved. Lock, stock, and barrel, past, present, and future, because in Jesus, my salvation is complete. It's full. I'm not preaching tonight to give us liberty or license to sin. You understand that. I'm not preaching tonight to give us some kind of false assurance. I'm preaching tonight to people who are genuinely born again into God's family, but live week to week or day to day in some cases in some mode of instability or insecurity because you're concerned, you're scared, am I saved or not? And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be hard to be victorious with that kind of mentality. And God doesn't want you to live that way. He gave you the helmet of salvation. He said, hey, Christian, understand this. Put on this helmet and think this through. Understand it. Think about it. When you trusted Christ, you got saved completely, past, present, and future. And from the moment you trust Christ until you enter the pearly gates, you are His. He'll not lose you. You won't lose Him. It's full. It's complete. Put that helmet on. Put that mentality on and go into battle. And even if you suffer loss or defeat, you're not going to become and not going to get down in this horrendous pit of despair, worried about, am I saved or not? When you wear the helmet of the hope of salvation, because the blows are going to come. Turn with me to the book of Jude, please. I'm almost done. Turn to me with to the book of Jude. And let's look here just a little bit. Jude, there's only one chapter. And I love how it starts in verse number one. Jude is the vestibule to the book of Revelation. Look with me, if you will, at Jude and verse number one in your Bible tonight. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God, the Father, watch this, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Do you see that, brother and sister? Preserved in Jesus Christ. Drop down to verse number 24. Verse number 24, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. I am preserved in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is able to keep me from falling and to present me before God and the Father saved. Brother, look, I am preserved in Christ. Now wait, when I got saved, I was justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. I am preserved in Jesus. You ladies that preserve fruits, you ladies that preserve vegetables, when you preserve them in this month of this year and you open them 16 months later, are they the same as they were the day they went in that canning jar? Yes, they are preserved. Have they lost anything? They have lost nothing. Thank God. When I get saved, I'm just as if I'd never sinned. And I am preserved in Christ until the day that He presents me before God the Father. So that means as a child of God, glory to God, I can't lose anything between the day I get saved and the day I'm presented to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. That doesn't make me want to run out and just sin, Brother Hanks. That makes me want to live holy. That makes me want to live for Him. Oh man, glory to God. You mean God can take an old sinner bound for hell and save him and wash him clean and then justify him so I've never sinned in the sight of God, and then He preserves me in Jesus Christ? And Jesus Christ has the power and the ability to present me someday before God in that same condition. Glory to God. Amen. What a God. What a Savior. What a salvation. By the way, that's one reason why the judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment of sin. We've already been judged, folks. The judgment seat of Christ is a judgment of works. It's not a judgment of sin. That was done on the cross of Calvary. Jesus took our punishment. You probably heard the old story about the one-room schoolhouse and the 18 or 20 kids in different grades. And the one little boy in about the fourth grade brought his silver dollar his dad had given him for show and tell. And he got up and he talked about his silver dollar at show and tell time, and he had it sitting on his desk. They went out for recess. When they came back in for recess and got settled into their desks, the little boy came up to his teacher's desk weeping. And the teacher said, what's the matter, son? And he said, somebody stole my silver dollar. I left it on my desk. And she said, okay, we'll find it. Be seated. So she stood in front of her class and she said, class, somebody stole whatever his name was silver dollar. He showed it to us at show and tell time. He left it on his desk at recess. When he came in, it was gone. Somebody in this room took it. Who took his silver dollar? Nobody said a word. She said, look, we're not going to have class. We're not going to open a book. We're not going to start another lesson. We're not going home until somebody confesses that they took that little boy's silver dollar. They were quiet. Several minutes passed by. She said, we're not moving till somebody confesses. And finally, one of the older boys in the back of the classroom raised his hand and stood up. And she said, yes, sir. He said, teacher, he said, I didn't take the silver dollar, but I will take the punishment so that we can get on with school. And she thought, well, okay, that's fair. So he came up there. He bent over and grabbed his ankles. And she took the big Board of Education, the paddle, and she wore him out. And she wore him out good for it. He went and sat back down at his desk. The teacher opened their, they said, open their books. The teacher started teaching the lesson. They weren't 5 or 10 minutes into it when she heard some sniffling. She looked over on this side of the little schoolhouse. Here's another boy, a little older than that boy, but not as old as the oldest boy. And he's crying. She said, what's the matter? And he said, I took the silver dollar, pulled it out of his pocket. And she said, well, I'm glad you finally confessed. Now come up here and take your punishment. And when she said that, the older boy stood up. And he said, teacher, you can't punish him for that. You've already punished me for it. I've already taken the punishment. Christian friend, the moment we got saved, our punishment was taken in the precious body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He paid for our salvation in full. God's not going to whip us again at the judgment seat for our sin. The judgment seat is a judgment of works. Please don't misinterpret this as me saying, don't worry about sin. It's all paid for. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying when the devil climbs up on your shoulder and begins to boom, 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 when darkness comes, when your soul is invaded by the pounding of the enemy, wear your helmet. Put your helmet on and go back to the day of your salvation and realize by the grace of God, the salvation that Jesus provided was complete and full, past, present, and future. Okay, you've had a setback. Get right with God and keep marching on as a soldier of Christ. Don't be eaten up by insecurity and instability. Folks, the fight's only going to get more intense. It's only going to get more intense. I think about that song we sing, when darkness veils His loving face, I rest on His unchanging grace. We didn't open the service, but for the handshaking song tonight, Brother Stumple got up and said, let's sing together. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Jesus Christ became mine October 15th, 1975, when I trusted Him as my personal Savior. I dare not, I cannot stand here and tell you that from that moment until tonight, July 5th, 2017, that I have had no setbacks. I have had no losses. I have had no defeats. This is warfare. I have been pounded on. There are times when darkness has veiled His lovely face. But brother, thank God by His grace, I've realized that my salvation in Jesus is complete. My salvation in Jesus is full, lock, stock, and barrel. And so when darkness veils His lovely face, I rest. Rest on His unchanging grace. Are you troubled tonight? Are you bothered? Look, let's cut to the chase. if you thought you were saved because, you know, somebody told you you were, then maybe you need to come and get saved tonight. But if you K-N-O-W, that there was a time when you received by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you've suffered some losses and some setbacks and some defeats in your Christian life, and you've been bothered and insecure and unstable about your salvation, why don't you come tonight and rest? Rest in Him. It's full. It's complete. Jesus paid it all. Every bit of it. Put your helmet on. Wear your helmet. Put your helmet on and go into battle with the full and complete assurance and expectation of the completeness of your salvation. You're saved. Put your helmet on. Put your helmet on. The hope of our salvation.